Joel Fitzpatrick was sexually abused when he was a child. Now, as an adult, he has looked at this phenomenon and wants to make sure his own kids are prepared and protected.
Abuse happens with people who you're close to. It's not just some rando person off the street. It's someone who you're close to, someone who your kids are close to. And so really defining that well for your kids helps to protect them. I mean, it's not the panacea, right? It's not the thing that's going to keep them from ever having somebody abuse them. But what it does is it helps them.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Sexual abuse is not a new phenomenon. It's been around since the beginning of time. And yet it's something that as parents, we want to be alert to and do all we can to make sure our kids are protected. We're going to talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about one of the challenges we have as parents. But honestly, Dave and Ann, this is one of the great privileges we have as parents to be able to introduce our kids to one of the good gifts God has given us as human beings and to help them understand it in a wholesome and healthy and biblically saturated, gospel-saturated way. We're talking about human sexuality. A lot of parents are scared to death of this subject.
I was going to say, I think parents, we are petrified.
Yeah.
Because we don't know all the answers. We don't know what our kids are facing. And this generation feels very different from the one we grew up in.
And I would add this. I was excited as a new dad to get this opportunity. Was I scared? Oh, yeah. Did I know what I was going to say? Not really. But I never had a dad, never had a conversation with my dad about this. Ever until maybe college when he said, yeah, get as many women as you can and have a good time.
Wow.
That's what I did. Mm. That's like one of the first conversations I can remember. I'm 20-some years old. So, you know, as I became a new dad, I mean, I remember having that thought, oh, my gosh, the day's going to come when I get the privilege, like Bob said. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I know what I'm going to do? No, but I will figure it out by the time he's 6 years old and we can go to that field and talk about it. But, you know, it was just like it was fearful, but it was also very exciting to think I get to be the one to bring truth in a world of lies about a very important subject.
We've got a couple of friends joining us today. They're back to talk about this subject. Jessica Thompson and her brother Joel Fitzpatrick are joining us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Jessica, our listeners know from her involvement in the Art of Parenting video series. She and her mom have written some books together and have been guests before on Family Life Today. Joel's first time here, and this is your first book.
It is my first book.
Written with your sister.
Yeah.
And you thought, let's write
a... let's just dive right into the deep end. Let's just be as awkward as we possibly can be.
The book is called Mom, Dad, What's Sex? Giving Your Kids a Gospel-Centered View of Sex and Our Culture.
Yeah.
And we got to start off here because, Joel, for you to dive into this subject brings up some pain from your past.
Yeah, it really does. So as I was growing up, there was a family member. And let me just say, like, if you've got kids now and you're in the car with kids, then we're going to kind of dive into the deep end a little bit here. So just be aware of that. As I was growing up, there was a family member, not in my immediate family, kind of distant family, as usually is the case, who molested me over a period of time, multiple years. And it was hard. So, like, growing up with that, there was a lot of shame around this topic.
What age did this start?
So it started when I was around 5, 6, something like that. Went till I was about 8.
Did you feel that sense of shame right away as a 5-year-old?
Not right away, no. You know, it was weird and it was awkward, and it didn't like I knew what was going on was wrong. You know, there's that sense in which it's like, well, I think other people know about this, so it must be like I don't know what to do with this. Hmm. This is something really like that parents need to talk to their kids about in a real way. Shame that's brought on to a person because of the violation that's been done to them is a real danger when it comes to this topic. Because, you think to yourself, like, I'm broken now, right? And this is a lot of the problem with the way that people have talked about sex and sexuality in the past. For me, hearing having sex makes you broken, it makes you dirty. I'm like, well, what about me? This wasn't something that I went and looked for.
Right.
This is something that was done to me by someone else. And does that mean that I'm broken? Does that mean that I'm dirty? Does that mean that I'm shameful to God?
I think I can relate to that because I have abuse in my background. There was a point where, not right away, but after a while, I thought, it must be me.
Yeah.
There must be something wrong with me.
Yeah.
It almost like transferred and it just kind of locked into my heart. And I don't think as kids we know what to do with that.
No. And when you're told that sex is wrong and sex is bad and sex is a sin, and then that happens to you, the question is, what do you even do with that? And I carried that. I still carry it. And, you know, praise God. When those thoughts of shame and guilt come up in me, praise God for the forgiveness of Christ, right? Praise God for a pastor who looks at me every Sunday and pronounces from the pulpit that my sins are forgiven because of the work of Jesus for me. And it still makes me cry every Sunday. Still makes me weep because I'm like, wow, could this really be true for me? I think another important thing to say, and we bring this up in the book, is that, you know, when stuff like that happens to you, like, those are the sorts of people that Jesus uses to build his kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, you just read the biblical storyline and it's like, sexual sin doesn't disqualify you from being used by Christ to build his kingdom. That's such an important thing for parents to say to their kids. You see, because what shame does is shame makes you hide.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Shame makes you say, like, this needs to be in the dark.
Right.
And what the gospel does is the gospel comes in and it just cranks on the spotlights and it exposes everything. And then Jesus takes it away. Mm. And that gives you real freedom to do that.
I've got two questions for you. One is, how did the experience of having been molested shape your thinking and your behavior about sexuality as you grew up? The second is, when did this come to light with your family and your friends?
Yeah. So how it shaped me was it really made it made my view of human sexuality just skewed. There's something that I think goes on when you're exposed to sex and sexuality at that age that makes it and especially with such a shameful thing, right? It makes it so that it's difficult, so that it feels like this is one part of you that just is hard to share with other people. When you're exposed to sex at that age, there's a lot that happens, I think, to your mind and the way that you view other human beings.
What do you mean by that?
I think that there is – I mean, it could be different for other people. Like, this is just my experience of it. It made me never want that to happen to anyone else. Because I didn't want anyone else to feel what I felt. And so in one sense, it's like built up this nerve in me to speak out about things like pornography and sex trafficking.
It's almost like the quote that pain can become your platform.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're wanting that
to
be your platform in terms of helping people.
In one sense, but you don't want it to become your identity.
Yes.
You don't want it to become who you are, right? Because I'm not Joel, the person who was molested as a kid, right? Which is why I don't talk about it very often anymore. Who I am is Joel, God's son whom Christ has redeemed. That's who I am. That's my identity. And the more that I focus in on that, the more it becomes easy to just say, okay, that was one part of my experience as a human being. And like God has redeemed that and is using that now to allow me to talk to other people who have struggled with this, who this has been done to them, and to bring hope into it that, man, like you aren't broken for the rest of your life. Like, you're not done. You're not done. God's not done with you.
So it came to light when?
Yeah, it came to light a couple of years after it stopped. And the person who did this got sent away. You know, but God providentially brought him back into my life while I was a pastor. I'm walking in on a Saturday morning thinking to myself, I'm just going into church. No one's going to be here. I'm going to hang my seminary degree on the wall, you know, and then I'm going to study my Bible and like really live into this pastor thing and, you know, lean into that. And there's the guy. Just at the door of the church. And I invited him into my office and he and I sat and we talked and I just, you know, I had to confront that all over again inside of me, saying all of those, like, all of that anger, all that fear, all that shame, all that guilt, it just all came bumbling right back up to the surface again.
Was he there to repent?
No. No, he wasn't. He was looking for a friend, and so he thought he'd come to this church where I was just the pastor at. And, you know, God's providence is a funny thing. It kind of exposes areas where you still, like, need to do some business with Jesus. And, you know, I sat across the desk from him. He was sitting on my couch. I was sitting in my office chair, desk in between us. And I had a really good chance at that point to say to him, to like minister the gospel to him and just say, look, the only thing that's keeping me from climbing over this desk and killing you is knowing that Jesus loves me and knowing that I've done things against Christ that would deserve eternal damnation, and yet he forgives me, and he would forgive you too, and so would I if you just asked. If you ask and you place faith in Christ, then he'll forgive you for all the things that you've done, not just to me, but to a lot of people. And he couldn't even squeak out an I'm sorry. He couldn't even – he didn't even admit to doing what he did to me. At which point I just said, well, you know, like there's not a lot that we have to talk about. And so I just appreciate it if you don't come back here because I need that distance from you. Yeah. And that's a hard thing to do.
How did God renew your mind about sex? Because you start the book with this biblical God design of sex, which is a beautiful thing. It's where you start the book.
Yeah.
And yet you come from the other side of that, the dark side, and to internalize that now, how'd you get there?
Yeah, long time faithful pastors, faithful friends who I've had this conversation with, faithful parents who've loved me through this, a faithful sister who's been my friend through it. And then really, really starting to say, like, I don't want my kids to grow up with this same view as me. I don't want the kids in my youth group to grow up in the same view as me. And so through all of that, through really reading scripture, reading a ton of books, talking to my seminary professors about this, talking to my wife about this, I have a beautiful, godly wife who has helped me so many days as I've been down thinking about this stuff, really being open with it. What that does is it allows you to actually process like the feelings that are going on inside of you. And this is why I'd say, like, men, you need friends, right? Like, you need good friends who will ground you in the gospel, who will bring you back to that over and over again. Women, you need good friends who will do that for you. Because quite frankly, you know, if we take what Jesus says seriously in the Sermon on the Mount, that if you lust, you've committed adultery. If we take that seriously, there's not one of us sitting at this table or anywhere in the world that isn't broken sexually.
So true.
Once we all kind of like say that, right, then we can start to talk about it and we can start to share the gospel with each other. We can say things like, yeah, Joel, like you've been molested, but praise God, like Jesus is pure in your place. Like Jesus is holy in your place. And while this wasn't your choice, Jesus hates that. And he died to make you pure. He died to make you clean. He died to wash you. And one day this will be completely passed from you. You won't ever have to think about this again.
You know, we're talking to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people right now.
Yeah, that's a little bit scary.
Who have had the experience that you've had.
Yeah.
And who are reliving some of that as they hear you talk about this.
Yeah.
And everybody we're talking to, and this is where I think it's back to the point that you made, everyone we're talking to would say that there's brokenness in my sexuality and in my past. There's yeah. nobody listening who would say, you know, I've lived it perfectly in that area.
Yeah.
We all have memories mm-hmm. of actions or thoughts or whatever where we'd say there's shame attached to that. There's yeah. guilt attached to that.
Yeah.
If there's not a gospel, that'll sink you.
It's a bleak world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because there is a gospel, mm-hmm. the worst shame that anyone can feel. I've shared this with friends before. One of my favorite hymns that we sing at our church, it's the great hymn Before the Throne of God Above. Yeah. And I love the second verse that says, when Satan tempts me to despair
yeah.
and tells me of the guilt within, and that happens to us, doesn't
yeah.
it? Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted yeah. free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me.
Right, right.
That good news brings yeah. liberation and hope and freedom and the ability to function with joy in an area that otherwise could be shut down completely. Because this is the thing, when I'm talking to people where this has been a part of their experience, one of two things, they either shut that side of their life off and say, I'm not going near there. They get repressed. They get cold. Yeah. They don't, even in marriage, they don't want anything to do with sexuality. Or they get promiscuous to try to anesthetize, try to kill the shame by overindulging.
Right.
And neither of those work. Both of those are destructive. The only thing that works is to remember the gospel in the midst of this.
Yeah, and as you've said, the only way the gospel can be applied is you've got to be honest with God and yourself to say, I'm going to go there. I'm yeah. not going to stick it in a lockbox.
Right.
I've got to step into it. And I think it would be interesting to hear your perspective. Because mm-hmm. I've watched as Ann and I speak at conferences, and she shares her abuse story. Like Bob just said, I don't get to talk to her for 2 hours. Women line up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, you would never know. All these people have this in yeah. their story as well. And it just shows the need. So I'm thinking, I've heard what you've said about how you walked through it. You're a sister. You watched mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. What did you
and
see?
And even his healing process.
How did the gospel become real in his life?
The thing is, too, is this family member, it wasn't just with Joel. There were yeah. other people in our family that were affected as well. Mm. Our extended family. So what I've seen in Joel is this. I've seen Joel believe in the love and acceptance of a good father. Mm-hmm. And I have seen him push through this difficulty and even to write about it in the book. Mm-hmm. I know when I first saw, when we were writing back and forth, and I first saw that, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, it was a bit surprising to me because it's so painful to open that up. What I've seen in Joel is that what he says when he says the gospel is for the broken, the gospel is for the abused and the abuser, yeah. I know he believes that.
Yeah.
And I know that he has seen that to be true, that Christ comes to the abused and the abuser. I mean, you look at the story of David and Bathsheba.
Right.
Christ comes for the one who took advantage and the one who was taken advantage of.
Right.
So I've seen that healing in his life. It's not a one-day thing. This is a lifelong process of believing that truth over and over and over again. And that's what I've seen in Joel.
Yeah, I think it's really important to say that if you're listening to this, if you've been abused, that if you are an abuser, then God loves you. Like your past doesn't define who you are. Christ's righteousness defines who you are. God gets to do that. And thankfully, like you were quoting in the song, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see Joel and all of the ways that I reacted to it that were both, well, all of them were pretty unhealthy. I mean, then some that were healthy. He doesn't see that. What he sees is his child who he loves and who he is well pleased with. That's how God sees you, dear friend, dear brother and sister. God sees you and he loves you deeply and it pains him what happened to you, but he hasn't left you alone. What he did was he sent his son to die to prove his love for you. God himself, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, died to prove his love for you. And there's nothing that's going to separate you from that. It's like Romans 8 has become kind of my life chapter, right? No condemnation. God uses even terrible things, but yet there's nothing that's going to separate you. And so if you've been molested or raped or abused in those ways, if you've been abused physically, verbally, nothing separates you from God's love, not even your reaction to those things that have happened to you. God loves you. Your Father loves you. And have hope. Have hope. Know the gospel is true for you.
Right. And those things don't make you less than.
Right.
You're not less than because those things happen to you.
And you're not disqualified from talking to your kids, back to the big picture. Because I think a lot of parents who have had whatever broken sexual experience think, I can't talk to my kids about this, or the shame is so great. Did you feel any of that?
Well, I was going to say, Bob, I think what I did was I became almost paranoid
Right. Of
not wanting my kids to experience that.
Yeah.
Joel, how did you face that?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I have a great, lovely wife who helps to temper me. I have a very, very full force personality. And so she helps in that a lot. But I've had real frank conversations with them. I've told them, this is who is allowed to touch you in these circumstances. A book, God Made All of Me, by Justin Holcomb.
Which, by the way, is a book we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center, so listeners can get a copy of it. It's a great book for parents to read to kids.
Yeah, and really helps to set those boundaries, because you don't even think you need to talk about that sort of stuff. Mm. But the reality is you do.
Mm-hmm.
So often, I think that abuse happens with people who you're close to. It's not just some rando person off the street. It's someone who you're close to, someone who your kids are close to. And so really defining that well for your kids helps to protect them. I mean, it's not the panacea, right? It's not the thing that's going to keep them from ever having somebody abuse them. But what it does is it helps them. And then also saying, if somebody ever does this, even if they threaten you, even if they threaten me, even if they threaten your mother, come talk to us about it. And pastors, please, please call the police. Let them, let the authorities deal with this. That's what they do. And if the person is innocent, then God bless them. They'll be found to be innocent and fantastic. And if not, then that's why God gave us the state, right? To protect us.
And Joel, let my wife go first.
I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah.
For sharing that, because it goes unspoken and so many people live in shame and it still hasn't come out. So thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
And it's interesting. We are one. I was going to say the exact same thing. Mm. It took courage not only to address it in your life, but then to write about it and now to speak about it. But I would also say this to anyone that's thinking this right now. I'm so broken. God's never going to use this part of my life. It's just going to be my little secret. I'm just going to keep it there. God uses our woundedness to heal, and then it becomes a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't write a book about being a youth pastor.
No.
You wrote a book about sex.
Yeah.
And that comes out of the pain that God said, I redeemed it. Now I'm going to use it as a gift to help redemption in other people. Yeah. So thanks for that.
And I think a lot of moms and dads are going to benefit from your transparency, but also from your wisdom and your focus as they think through how do we have these conversations with our kids about all the issues we face when it comes to sexuality, not just the potential for abuse, but what does healthy sexuality look like? How does the gospel factor into that? We've got copies of your book, which is called Mom, Dad, What's Sex? You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to request your copy or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the title of the book, Mom, Dad, What's Sex? Giving Your Kids a Gospel-Centered View of Sex and Our Culture. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, this subject is a difficult subject to address. I know for a lot of families, this is very real, very personal. And our goal here at Family Life Today is to try to bring Jesus and the gospel to bear on what are often the painful issues we face in marriage and family. We want to provide practical, biblical help and hope for whatever it is you're dealing with in your marriage and family relationships. And we're able to do that because listeners like you say this is important, not only for us, but for others here in our community and all around the world. You make this ministry possible. Every time you make a donation, you're extending the reach of Family Life Today. And we want to say thank you for your support of this ministry. In fact, right now, if you can help with a donation, we'd love to express our thanks by sending you Dave and Ann Wilson's new book, Vertical Marriage. And it's our thank you gift to you when you support this ministry with a donation of any amount. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. And we're grateful for your ongoing support of this ministry. Well, our conversation with Joel Fitzpatrick took a little different turn than we had expected. A sober discussion on a difficult subject. And the president of Family Life, David Robbins, is here with us. These are important conversations for us to have.
Yeah, indeed. I think the thing that stood out to me today is how amazing it is that God is using Joel in such a profound way to speak to others out of his own story, a horrific, evil story that he has experienced. But yet, in his own journey of being healed and reconciled and experiencing forgiveness, he is ministering to others.
Well, that's 2 Corinthians 1, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, God, as he comforts us, he gives us the ability to comfort others with that same comfort we have experienced. And this is what God in his grace does again and again. And perhaps you're processing Joel's story through the lens of your own pain. And I simply want to first say, I'm sorry for your pain. It's legitimate. But I also want you to know that your woundedness is not the end of the story. We know from God's word, illustrated over and over in the lives of Moses and Jacob and Joseph and Ruth and Esther and David and Paul and today in Joel's story, that God takes sobering pain caused by sin and he transforms it to bring restoration and life to others. God is more than able to do that for you and me today.
Beauty from ashes, right?
That's right.
That's good. Thank you, David. Tomorrow, we're going to continue the conversation about how, as parents, we should engage with our children around the issue of sex so that we help them think biblically about what's ahead for them. Hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.